Arbenz, and welcome to the Premier League review show. I'm Gav Mack, and that's Ed Hall. Edouard, how are you?
I'm really good. Liverpool didn't lose this weekend.
Hey! Ping, 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 ping. And we are here all damn week. So, of course, you can follow us on all social media platforms at Tut Top Football. You find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, and other things as well at Tut Top Football. And if you did, you know, if you put Tut Top into Google, our name comes up first. Now you do. Of course, the standard message that we spread to every single person going in the world is that there is no room for racism. If you see it, deal with it, report it to the relevant parties, and make sure it is eradicated, not just from football, but in life as a whole. Ed.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm kind of wishing I went for a white cap, because then we'd look like Twist and Pulse or something. Do you know what I mean? I was just thinking.
I'll tell you what, we'll get that sorted out for next weekend. My beer of choice today is Grolsch.
Nice.
I only drink it when it's ready. See what I did there. Anyway, let's talk football, huh? Let's talk football.
What happened? I bet you're buzzing.
Yes, within reason. Yes. Arsenal 2, Tottenham 1. The North London derby. Arsenal winning. North London is red. We all knew North London was red anyway. But
That's not up for discussion.
It's not. Spurs have done really well over the last few years, granted. And I take my hat off to them. I won't right now because I'm out of the trim since the end of November. But there's a time when you have to get in your lane and stay in your box. And yes, I'm going to be cocky as hell for the next 5 minutes. So Spurs fans, if you don't want to hear this, tune back in at 7:08. That'll be fine. Ed, what did you think of this game?
I'll start with going into the game. I thought probably Tottenham were the favourites going into this game because they started to look like they found a bit of pace to them. Gareth Bale's started playing football. Harry Kane's Harry Kane. They look a good outfit. I thought they might have enough to sneak a top four challenge. So I had them as favourites.
Bookies had them at 9-5. I was thinking that's free money, that is, isn't it?
Well, they've been winning about, like, what was it? Last result was 4-0. They've been keeping them out and absolutely banging them in.
Yeah, they've won five in the spin as well.
You can see why Arsenal have been very unpredictable this year. You don't know which Arsenal side you're going to get. You look at the start of the season, then there's a resurgence, then there's a blip again. And now there seems to be a bit more of a mini resurgence again under Arteta. I think that's probably the players he's got at his disposal at the time dictates that. But Arsenal still won. I don't think Arsenal will get top four. But I think Arsenal have. But
no,
I think Arsenal
it's
have
a bit late for that. But
no, it is too late for that. But they've made the end to their season a little bit more interesting. That's the way I'd look at it.
I thought Arsenal were in control for the whole game until the sending off.
Yeah.
That's, from that moment, Arsenal were just like, oh, what do we do now? How do we play against 10? Because I think it's Arsenal so used to playing with 10 men that they don't know how to play against 10 men. I think that's what the issue is. But the first half, you know, Arsenal hit right out of the woodwork twice. I was praying that the Smith-Rowe chance went in because it was such a good slap. Keeper had no chance. And I thought it was going to go tits up because there was three players there. And it's like, which one wants to go for it? I don't know who it is. Oh, I don't know what it is. But I'm really happy with that. I mean, I look at the goal that Spurs scored and, hey, look, can anyone say anything bad about that?
I'm sure you could.
No, I can't. That was beautiful. The only thing that wound me up is the fact that Arsenal weren't in the lead at that point. And I think we deserved to be in the lead by that stage. It's the only shot they had up until the, 80th minute. Only shot they had on target. So, yeah, I was a bit wound up the fact that Spurs had taken the lead, but Arsenal persevered and they got the job done. So I'm really happy with that.
Is it more of a case of, let's see what we can do next season? Do you know where you would like Arsenal to strengthen in the summer?
It's tough, isn't it? Because I personally look at the Arsenal side and there's no team that's perfect out there. Even City aren't perfect. You know, every team needs strengthening. But
they
I'm
need
trying
strikers.
To work out, Yeah, they need. Yeah, that's what I mean. So they still need help, despite them being what was it? How many points? 113 points clear of everybody else in the Premier League.
No, I think it's 110. I think it's
110. Oh, 110. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, because Man United have just kicked off. Yeah. But no, I would like. I don't think we need to strengthen player-wise. I think we need to strengthen mentality-wise. I think that's what the issue is, because it's just certain things, silly things, like playing out from the back when they don't need to, you know, talking themselves into trouble. I think that's what Arsenal do wrong. I think the personnel is fine.
Could you bring in personnel who have that stronger mindset, who are perhaps winners? Because, I mean, I look at Aubameyang, who's a great player, and I know he's not a defensive player, so it'd be hard to criticise him if a goal was let in the dying moments of the game. But as good as Aubameyang is, he's never really been a winner. He was never part of the Dortmund team that won Bundesliga titles. No. You should get someone in who's won trophies, and that will kind of be the next step in the evolution, because they can bring through your younger players to another level. It's kind of like, I mean, I'm asking for more than a Milner, but what Milner did for the young lads at Liverpool is he already won 3 Premier League titles with Man City, and he was a Premier League vet. You know, that it's what they do in the dressing room. So we've had countless academy players come through and hit the ground running. And that could probably be because of who they've got around them. So maybe Arsenal should look at that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try to, you know, Alex is in the chat, and, you know, there's a few bits of bobs that I buy into. One I don't buy into, and I'll bring those up in a couple of moments. But he's said it before. I agree with him. And Liverpool have done it, and City have done it. And they've gone out to the next tier down and picked their best players. So I look at Brighton, for instance. We'll talk about Brighton in a bit because they had a fantastic result today. I look at someone like Lamptey at right back. You know, he's young, he's hungry, he wants to progress. Bissouma, same situation. Young, hungry, wants to progress. I think Arsenal need to look at those type of players rather than, because we've tried getting in the world-class players, excuse me, or the players that have played for world-class clubs, and it's not necessarily worked. It has in turn at times. Sometimes ends up stagnating a little bit, you know. So I don't think, and if you're playing for a top tier club and you are then coming to Arsenal, it goes to show you that you are not a top tier player anymore. And that attitude that players have got, can it continue? I don't know. But on that, I want to just go to a couple of the comments where we'll talk about strengthening Arsenal. Striker, left winger, central midfielder, right back, and then a goalkeeper. That's a lot of stuff. Now, striker, I would love to go out and get a striker. Who's out there that you could go and get? Who's going to be out there that you could afford? And
Danny Ings.
Injury prone. So would he be worthy? I just don't want Silva in an Arsenal shirt.
Him, Lacazette and Aubameyang. Yeah, he'd probably spark some life back into an Aubameyang.
Potentially. Left wing.
I don't think
we need anyone on left wing.
You don't need any wingers, in my opinion.
I don't think we need any wingers. Centre mid, Bissouma. That's what I'm talking about. Get a Bissouma in. And the right back, Lamptey. Goalkeeper wise, I do think Leno is good enough. I think he is a top goalkeeper. I just don't like the mentality of the playing out the back and all that crap. It does my head in. But the one I disagree with is the last 15 minutes energy levels dropping. I don't think it dropped. I thought it was an attitude drop because Spurs had to come out and play because they were down to 10 men and they needed to get something out of the game. And Arsenal got panicky and allowed it to happen. And I'm not a fan of that happening at all. Ivan Toney, Northampton legend. So,
that'd be a gamble, though.
He's playing for a lesser club and he wants to step up. So, therefore, this is his opportunity and he gets on the end.
How much do you think Ivan Toney would cost, considering? Because he's
25 mil.
Yeah, probably. Probably, but I imagine it'd be quite hard for, unless he forced a way out, but you imagine if he comes up with Brentford, which, you know, looks likely, he might get one season under his belt in the Premier League with that team and then make a move. I don't know if he might double. No, yeah, exactly. You play risk of that. It's catch 22 then ones. Maybe.
What about Spurs? Does this result affect them?
It affects where they're going to finish. The problem is with Spurs, I really like them going forward, but I look at the rest of the team and nothing interests me. You've got Alderweireld, who's an aged player, to say the least. Way past his best. He's not the player of 3-4 years ago. I think Lloris is overrated, has been for a long time. Even at his peak, I didn't really rate him as highly as other people. Mm. But I don't think you've got a stellar goalkeeper in the goalkeeper department. Midfield, is there anyone in midfield who you go, I'd want them in my team?
That's Spurs.
Not prospects, just not, and even if you look at maybe Dele Alli if he came back in form, but still, you wouldn't really want them.
The only player I'll look at is Højbjerg, and I would have him, I think he's the signing of the season.
But Okay, that's fair enough. But do you think Højbjerg is next level? Or good for Tottenham?
I think he could play for any club in the Premier League.
Okay.
Honestly, doing what he does, I think he could play for any club in the Premier League. He is, I'm not going to say he's world class, because he don't have to be world class to be able to play for every club in the world, if that makes sense. He could go and do that job, what he does at Spurs, at any club in the world. It's one of those unnoticed, thankless tasks that he does. So I think that's what I mean. That's what I mean by that.
I'll give you the thing is with Tottenham, they have the players to play good attacking football. You've got Bale, Son, Kane. Come on.
Mm.
You don't need to be playing that negative football. I understand if you were maybe coming against a City, or if an FA Cup, it's a Champions League game, you need to hold deep. But that's not sustainable across a 38-game season. It's just not. Probably used to be, but the levels have raised so much. There's teams, the top 10 teams have world-class players then, compared to a top two. It's completely changed now. It's not sustainable.
And before we go on, the penalty decision in this game, do you think it should have been a penalty?
I don't know anymore.
The actual challenge itself is worthy of a penalty, 1,000,000%. But the nature of how it came around, you don't normally see them given. So I'm happy to see it given, but what I want to see is this to be given every week when it happens.
You want the consistency?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I understand that.
100%. Right, Leicester.
Hold on a sec. Okay. I agree with you. I did throw world class out there, but they have very top talent in the top 10 clubs who on their day can damage any club. That's something we didn't have in the previous 10, 15 years of the Premier League. But you're right, I did throw world class out too easily.
Yeah. Easy. Easy. What was world class was this performance from Leicester. 5-0 winners over Sheffield United. A hat-trick for Kelechi Iheanacho, which... Do you remember when he was meant to be like the next big thing? It was like he was going to go further than Marcus Rashford.
Oh, yeah, I was joking. I was texting my mate saying, "Man United fans, like, I told you he was better than Rashford." despite that comparison, though, I've always quite liked him as a player. I thought he'd stay at City, but then it kind of dwindled off. He wasn't banging in goals anymore, and they shipped him off. Leicester played well today. Leicester did good to, dust off some recent results to come back. But Sheffield United, you imagine that it's got to be really bad behind the scenes there. I mean, you've just lost Wilder.
And you've got to put the kids out for the rest of the season now. Just accept that you're going down.
Well, I think they already thought they were going down. But to now lose the man who took them to the promised land has got to be... It's got to be tough psychologically. Because I bet you a lot of them lads didn't even want to see him go.
No, of course not. He's been a beacon to them. A lot of those lads have been there since League One as well. It's been like the Southampton situation when they came through and, got to the promised land themselves. A lot of those lads came from League One. Schneiderlin, Lallana, all knocking around there. It's the same with Sheffield United now. But Leicester, this is a massive result for them. And it's about time that they were able to... turn the screw on in these sort of games, because these are games that, over the season, yes, they've done well. Yes, they've been in the top four, but they will lose silly games like this. And the fact that they're out of Europe now,
they look dead in the Europa League. I was thinking today, like, as much as I love Leicester and I would like to see them in the Champions League, they put a stellar in performance last time after they won the league. This team can be just as dangerous. But they look poor in the Europa League. And I thought, you're going to get torn up in the Champions League. They really need to fix up. Because their style of football suits the Prem. I wonder how it will suit a Bayern Munich. Or,
yeah. It doesn't even have to be one of the top end. Like,
no,
top
it doesn't. I mean, they got knocked out in the Europa League. When you, who was it by? It's who Slavia Rangers Prague. Have. I mean, no offense, Slavia Prague. I'm sure they can do some. They can play some decent football, but Leicester should be the Premier League side. Leicester should be beating Slavia Prague.
Yeah, there's levels, isn't there? There's definitely levels. What I did enjoy today is watching Jamie Vardy with an alternative approach to this game. You know, he'd like to be on the end of stuff, but this time he turned provider and set up two of Iheanacho's goals.
Yeah, I like the second assist where he just quickly whips it across the box. It looked like a poor ball at first, but then it just straight up made it to Iheanacho. Iheanacho wasn't going to miss any of these chances today, was he? But no. Jamie Vardy, man, he's just he's a marvel, isn't he? To peak so late in his career and to still keep pushing on. I mean, how old is Vardy now?
34? 34? Yeah. I think he's a touch older than me. Jamie Vardy.
He's 48 then.
Prick. he's just turned 34 in January. There you go. So yeah, he's old. We're in the same school, yeah. That's nice. So yeah, he's doing bits and he's loving life. And if I was Gareth Southgate, I would be like, by hook or by crook, just get him in. And I'd like to see England maybe play a 4-2-3-1 with just one holding midfielder. You know, like a more
You're wasting your time, Kane, man. It's not deep. FIFA. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Euro's around the corner, bro. He ain't just going to go, man. Guess what?
Yeah, but Jay Vardy's been doing it year on year, constantly. So, it's just frustrating. But this defeat... I think it's the first time since Wilder had brought them into the Premier League that they lost by three clear goals or something like that. It's ridiculous. I know it's their heaviest defeat in 20 years.
I didn't know that stat. I like to think that perhaps it might have been really bad behind the scenes and there's stuff we don't know about for Chris Wilder to be sacked. Because, I mean, they knew they were going to the Championship. It'd take a God-given miracle to have stayed in the Premier League, even with Chrissy Wilder still there. Do they really think that he wouldn't bring him back? Or is it just chaos behind the scenes and they felt they had to get rid of him?
That's the thing. I mean, like, who now goes in to Sheffield United and attempts to try and bring them up?
I can't imagine they were so naive to have just believed that. There must be more to it.
There's got to be. I can't understand the mentality behind it. I mean, look at Sean Dyche with Burnley. You know, he stayed with them. He went down with them. He brought them back up. So
Rafa did it. And he'd never even been in the Championship. I was pressed by that. He shouldn't have won it, really. They blundered it last game of the season, whoever they were up against. But still, we won it. Brought them straight back.
Look
at the Norwich manager. Look at the Norwich manager.
Farker.
So, you know, he'll probably come into next season having learnt from, you know, that first season of pure errors. They played some good football, but, you know, you have to learn sometimes to become better managers, to become better teams. Yeah. And that same squad of players has brought themselves straight back to the Premier League. I disagree. This is where I have problems with clubs. I really think they let down their fans and they let down the people who've got them places. I understand it's a business, but come on, man, it's Chris Wilder.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. The Lallana derby happened today. Sheffield United, just spoke about them. Southampton 1, Brighton 2. Massive, massive result for Brighton down there at the bottom. And not just that, it's arguably brought Southampton into a bit of a relegation battle. And the international break is happening in a couple of weeks. And I think they are desperate to see that, to try and get some time to regroup and start again and put a push in at the end of the season to ensure that they don't go down. This is a Southampton side that were top of the league at one point this season. Yes, it was relatively early on.
Yeah, everyone was top of the league at one point.
Yeah, even Arsenal spent the whole pre-season top of the league.
Yeah, you did.
Now that Brighton are gone, Bournemouth are gone, it's great. We actually stayed top. But no, on a serious point though, Southampton, they are in a lot of trouble.
I don't know if they're in a lot of trouble. I think they're in a lot of trouble in terms of progression next season. I don't really see them being in danger of getting relegated. I think it's 7 points. I know Fulham are the only side who can get out of it now. The results, which we'll go into later, pretty much confirmed West Brom are out. Come on, man. You look at the players they've got. You'd expect them to get enough results to get them over the line. I don't even know if their fans will believe that they're in a relegation battle. It's a bit like when you said Burnley was in a relegation battle. I didn't for a second believe it. And do you think they're in one now? Still?
Well, they're on the same level of number of points as Southampton. But I feel that Burnley have a way out where Southampton, you know, the quality-wise, they've got all the players that they need there. It's a morale thing right now, and I don't think it's anything to do with the manager. It's not the manager's fault, because I don't think the performances have been all that bad. And once again, the players that they've got, you look at Ward-Prowse and Romeo in midfield, great players. I think Vestergaard is a half-decent defender. I'll look at the two goalkeepers that they use. They use Forster, and they use, let his name just slip, McCarver. His name slipped my mind, but they've got the two goalkeepers there. They've also got, you know, Kyle Walker-Peters, who's doing a job. Ryan Bertrand, a Champions League winning Ryan Bertrand. Theo Walcott went fit. Danny Ings. Armstrong.
So they've got Minamino.
Minamino's been putting in performances since he's been there as well. So this is a decent Southampton side, you know, that should be looking at easy mid-table and potentially pushing for a European spot. But
yeah, Bednarek's sick as well. No, not Bednarek. I'll write Bednarek, but he has had some blunders in recent weeks. He was like, Vestergaard. I love Vestergaard. Vestergaard goes to a top, like, no offense, Southampton, but if he goes to a competing top six club, I reckon Vestergaard does bits. I'd love to see him next to Van Dijk, but you know, FIFA dreams don't come true.
Well, it doesn't have to be FIFA, it's Southampton, so it could happen.
Yeah, but exactly that. We spend our loyalty points. But did you know Southampton have Burnley next?
That would be a very, very interesting game. Interesting game. Now, Brighton, on the other hand, they have been playing some fantastic football. I mean, let's rattle through the goals quickly. The first goal after 16 minutes was Lewis Dunk. Great header. I do question a bit of the goalkeeping in terms of positioning, but the header, all the same, was fantastic. They got a bit lucky with the equaliser, but it was a fantastic finish as well. Nice volley, top bins, can't really do anything about that, Ken Sanchez. But the Trossard goal, the movement for it, and I want to talk about Danny Welbeck, who has only just come back from injury and looked like prime Welbeck in this game. And the Welbeck
What was prime Welbeck?
The Welbeck, it's like a montage video. That's what he looked like today. Everything that he does well is gone into one YouTube video, and he put that all out there today, apart from scoring. That's all, the only thing he didn't do in the game. But he was there
for prime Welbeck. Everything.
So prime Welbeck.
Yeah. I understand true, what you mean. All jokes aside,
he
had moments in his career. He just never really kicked on the way you'd hope. So, yeah, you're probably right in that statement. He's a good player to have there. He's probably Brighton level, especially where he's at, especially the age he's at. I think he's secretly like 56, isn't he now?
I think so, yeah.
Some people still think he's a youngster. He has that Jesse Lingard effect, doesn't he? Because of how young he came into the Premier League.
Well, Jesse Lingard is a young up-and-coming player, do you know what I mean? So don't be like bagging on him or anything like that.
Yeah, Brighton are still in the relegation battle, but this was one hell of a statement to stay up.
Yeah, 30 years old, Danny Welbeck. 30. Good age. I say good age, I'm older than that, so give a shit out.
By about 15 years.
Come on, bro.
Set me up.
Brighton, they are a striker short of good things. I really believe that. They play a beautiful brand of football, and Graham Potter knows what he's doing with his team. They create so many damn chances, but Neil Maupay, Aaron Connolly, Danny Welbeck, they are not going to be the guys that are going to take you forward. So I would look, if I was them, I think I've mentioned it before, if I were them, I would look at, they should look at a Rian Brewster or an Eddie Nketiah or someone like that. I would still even look at doing it when they're in the preseason. Or, what about, you know,
do you think Alfredo Morelos could take a try at the Premier League?
Yeah, I really do. Yeah. I think that'd be a great shot, but it's discipline. It's disciplinary.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
It's not going to carry him very far in the Premier League, where it's a lot more stringent in terms of fouls and you know, discipline. I don't think he would be able to cut it in the Prem for that. But in terms of his ability on the pitch, 1,000,000%.
He could definitely finish these opportunities.
Yeah, I reckon he can. What else happened today? Oh, no, they're all the games for today. Excuse me. So let's go on to yesterday's games and we'll have a look at Fulham. And Fulham, despite showing a little bit of form of late, they suffered a 3-0 defeat. 0-0 at half-time, though. Do you think that they might have felt a little bit lucky?
Well, lucky's the word. They would have considered this a write-off in their books, especially when they have a look at the fixture list. Fulham is still a very resilient side. I can't believe I've come to terms with that fact, because at the start of the season, I could have scored against Fulham. They were horrendous. The communication amongst the back four was horrendous. But they found a way. They fight for each other. And the fact of the matter is, yes, they were. Everyone who goes in 0-0 against City is not a top side. You'd consider lucky. Yeah, you would. Because you then have a chance of getting at least a point or even nicking it, dare I say. But Fulham have shown they can do that. I'm sure if you look at all the games where Fulham have drew 0-0, 1-1, that they've been very fortunate in all of them games. You create your own luck.
There's been a couple where they've been unfortunate. Well, we'll have a look at the Spurs game, you know, where I thought they were quite unlucky in that. But then you look at the Liverpool game where I just didn't feel Liverpool were up to the races at all that day, and Fulham wholeheartedly deserved to win that. This game, Fulham were against it from minute one, really, but it is Man City. So, I mean, how they're professional footballers, so they should look at it in a different way, but I'm not quite sure what your thoughts are.
We haven't even got to that segment yet, Alex. So I don't know.
We'll come to that in a minute.
We'll come to that. Wait your turn. Jesus. Anyway.
City. So, like, they got the opening goal with John Stones. John Stones scored so many damn goals this season for a centre-half. And he's got to... I was going to say on the plane. I keep saying on the plane for the Euros. But, you know, all bar one game, if England make it to the final, will be in this country. So, just be on the coach. On the coach.
I think John Stones might answer their striking problem. It's weird to say that John Stones. I think John Stones has more goals than Aguero, and we're about to crown City Premier League champions. Who would have thought that,
mate? John's sorry, it's not COVID. Honestly, it's a cold. But John Stones. Honestly, it's not a bad shout to lob him up front, you know, because he's actually quite skillful as well. That's the madness about it.
But the resurgence of John Stone has been great. And I give more credit to the player than I do the manager. I know a few pundits and a few people would like to praise Pep, but I don't think he had a choice. You know, there was a point when he would have stuck anyone at centre-back. But John Stones was out of form for a long time. He's had a long time to psych himself up and find that form again. So I think all credit goes to him in comparison to the manager.
Mm-hmm. And the second goal came from Jesus. It was a defensive mix-up. It was naughty, really, from Fulham. It looked so Arsenal. It was unreal. And then Aguero scored from the spot, which is lovely. And I love Aguero, honestly. I've got like a massive man crush on him. I think he's an absolute G. And it's annoying that he's so injury prone, because I wanted him to break the record. I really did. Anyway, for you, Alex, watching on YouTube, it's time for this.
What's our Everton?
Yes, what are Everton? It happens every week. You could win 7-0 and I'll still say what are Everton, because what are they exactly? They don't know who they are. They don't know what they want to be. And this is a game where, look, Burnley have picked up some bad boy results this season. Yes, they have. You know, they've beaten Liverpool. They've beaten Arsenal. They've picked up points in and around teams below them when they've needed to. Friggin' love Vidra. I have done since he was at Reading. Big fan of him. But Everton should be winning these sort of games. They need to be winning these sort of games if they have honest and true desires of one being
Champions League football. Champions League football.
Yeah, we know it. Let's not be wrong. And they want to move forwards. Yes, they do. So look, when it comes out with things like this, this is where it does my head in.
Doesn't matter.
They're the better team in Merseyside currently. No, you're higher up in the league, but I will still have Liverpool over Everton this season. League position. Let's talk about the league position in the third week of May and see where teams are, because I wholeheartedly believe that Liverpool will finish higher than Everton this season. And I don't even think Liverpool will finish in the top four. They might even finish fifth or sixth. So if that is the case, then where are Everton going to finish?
Before we look at that, because I just think that when you, it's not, that's what Tottenham used to do. They used to go, oh, well, we finished above Arsenal. Why would you care about that? I guarantee Liverpool are not sat down at eighth going, oh, we're below Everton. They're going, oh no, we're outside of top four. We're going to miss out on European football. Yeah. They don't. Mm. Their game plan next year isn't going to be, we've got to finish above Everton. They don't care about Everton. They want to get back to winning the title. And Liverpool have a quick fix and they're Premier League challengers again. Everton are at the peak of their powers and you're struggling for top four. But I did think Everton were making... Again? I was born in 1997 and this is the best Everton side I've ever seen.
Well, that's a madness, isn't it? Because you were born in 97 and since you've been born, Everton have not won a trophy and have only finished in the top four once.
I respect Everton, man. They're a fantastic club. I do. And I've always thought that they used to be... I always thought they were going to break into the top four at some point. And I thought Angelotti might be a statement. But I thought Everton were progressing because they beat Southampton 1-0. They beat West Brom 1-0 when they're closing in on that top
four. The West Brom game was a classic one that I expected Everton to lose.
Yeah.
And then go on a run again. Because that's what you do. You go and beat the big clubs. Go and beat the teams that are knocking around doing stuff and then lose these silly games. This is exactly what Spurs have done as well. Yeah. But I've got beef with Everton because on Football Manager, right, you can only have...
what?
On the old Football Managers, the budget only allowed you, even if you cut everyone, your only budget would only allow you to have four coaches. And it's like, nah, bruv, I want a team of coaches behind me. So I used to chin him off and use Villa instead. So I've got beef with Everton from that moment.
They're progressing though. But they are progressing.
They are moving forwards. And it's not
really, if you look
overnight.
At them on paper, if you look at them on paper against the other, and I'll include Liverpool in this, even though they're below Everton currently. Because let's be real, Liverpool having a howler of a season and they're still 3 points behind Everton, who have had one of their best seasons in my recent memory. You know, but Liverpool win against Wolves and they're level on points with Everton. You know, and Liverpool have been scrutinised. So it really shows how much progression have you made. I mean, you've got James Rodriguez, you've got Richarlison, you've got Lucas Digne, who's a good player. You've got Jordan Pickford, who's a national player, and I'll end it that at that. He's a national player.
Who got an injury this weekend as
Richarlison's well. Richarlison's great. I like Richarlison. But you play your strongest 11, all injuries aside, and then you look at the strongest 11 of the rest of the top six, top eight. Where do you think you rank in that? Mm. Top four is a hard achievement. It really is.
It goes to show how difficult it actually is, especially now where, you know, every team in the Premier League has got cash, whether they want to spend it or not. But, you know, there's so many teams vying for technically two positions, because at the moment, last few years, it's been City and Liverpool that have been doing their bit. This season, I can't see Man United coming anywhere outside second. So there are a whole host of clubs that are knocking around that are vying for two positions to try and get into the Champions League. And it's going to be tough. And even with Everton's strongest side, I would then turn around and say, okay, who'd you go out and buy other than goalkeeper? Because other than a goalkeeper, I look at that Everton side. Digne, fantastic talent. What a talent. Maybe a new right back, potentially. But I don't think you need one. You could just do with one. Love Ben Godfrey. I think he is going to be world class. I really do. And then who else you got? Keane, Mina, you know, midfield-wise, I think you're sorted. Because especially if you're playing a 4-2-3-1, Decore, when fit, of course, and Alan, second-best signing of the season for me.
Yeah. Behind I completely Hoiberg. Forgot about Alan. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah, because he does a thankless task. This is what I'm talking about. These players like him, players like Højbjerg, they're the ones that do thankless tasks.
I don't know. Alan's a bit more flair than Højbjerg, I think. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. But no, but the thing is, this is the strongest Everton team I've seen on paper. But I still compare that to the teams above them. And I go, no, there's a hell of a lot more stronger teams. So I think if they don't get top four, if they get top six, or even if they finished outside the top six, you're getting stronger year after year. Make some more signings. Go again. You know, I don't think it would have been a failure necessarily if Carlo Ancelotti doesn't. And honestly, if you finish above Liverpool, rub it in their faces. But that's not a mentality of a team who wants to go above and beyond. Because it's not, the Premier League isn't Everton and Liverpool. There's, you know, there is plenty of other teams you've got to be better than. But I'm sure bragging rights, I understand that.
Yeah. Now, look, we've waxed on about Everton, but Burnley won this game. And they deserve to win this game. The goals came from Chris Wood, 2-2. This one he actually meant. And there is an equaliser, not equaliser, sorry. There were 2-0 up, sorry, with Dwight McNeil. Can we just talk about how special that strike was?
Go on, Gaff, describe it.
If you haven't seen it, yeah, I think everyone needs to... the viewers, listeners, et cetera, et cetera. I honestly think that you need to sit in a dark room and watch that and make sure you have a box of Kleenex alongside you to witness how fit this guy is. Honestly, he's cut inside and he's used his left peg, he's curled around. I know straight away that that Jordan Pickford has very small arms. We all know this. But you could have had 3 goalkeepers in there. No one's saving that. The curl on it, it's absolutely fantastic. It was gorgeous. Burnley, yeah, are they in a relegation battle? Don't know. Mathematically. Right. DJ Yannick, who's watching. Miss Matt, was the choice of socks you chose today a difficult one to make? You must know me, by the way, because you must know that I wear super colourful socks and mad patterns on. Today, I have gone with a very interesting number. 1 second.
Ugh. Get your socks out for the lids.
Turn the lights out on these socks. That's what it is. These socks are, bearing in mind, I don't really go out anywhere anymore. And I still make sure that I have like bad boy socks on. So I have gone rainbow multicolour socks. For tomorrow, I don't know. I don't know yet. Because tomorrow is a new day and we'll see how we get along. And you said you got a question for Ed. Feel free to make to get that over. And he also asked, if Arsene Wenger had a child with Darth Vader, would they call it Arsene Vader? I do kind of like that. McNeil's goal was brilliant yesterday. Well deserved. Everton should have lost as Burnley were the better team yesterday. Burnley are a team that know how to play a 4-4-2. And I'm old school, so I love a 4-4-2 formation.
We are called two up top for that reason, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Big man, little man, two up top. Do you know what I mean? So that's the whole point. And I'm definitely the little man because I'm not very tall. Crystal Palace 1, West Brom 0. West Brom doomed. I think we knew this anyway. Goal came from Milivojevic. Milivojevic. I always call him Milivojevic. Are you meant to pronounce the V? I'm not quite sure. It was a penalty on 37 minutes. The main talking point for this game was the fact that Wilfried Zaha did not take the knee and is the only person that didn't take it. The Premier League have also said that the taking of the knee will continue to take place until the end of this season. I have my own opinions on taking the knee. I think it's very important that it does happen to raise awareness and raise, the point of conversation in and around racism. I also 100% back Zaha's decision and reasoning why he is not taking the knee. But what I don't like is people thinking and assuming that he's not taking the knee because it's crap. He doesn't believe in racism or that sort of stuff. So for anyone who honestly believes that, have a word with yourself, take a look in the mirror and educate yourself. There's a reason why he's choosing not to take the knee. But if you are taking the knee, there's also a reason for that. So make sure that you understand what is going on first before commenting on it and going down that route.
Well, that's my rant.
I'll throw a little sense into that. I don't have a strong opinion on either. You know, if we said we're going to end it, but I'd feel a strong message has been given and we'll assess it. Or if we choose to keep it in, I'll continue to support the message. I think if you choose, I mean, if you look at Zahar, if you look at your own opinion, you know, they've both got good arguments to it. You know, there's a pure message in that. It's not, as you said, it's not like Zahar goes, racism, never heard of it, mate. Because I'm sure he has. Being a professional footballer in England, I'm sure he's been a victim of abusive racism, especially amongst football fans.
It's constantly abused. But this is what I'm saying. So his reason not to take the knee isn't because he doesn't believe in what's going on. He believes in it more than anyone else. He really does. The reason why he's deciding to stand is so legitimate. You know, he doesn't want to, he wants to be able to stand. He feels more empowerment by being able to stand in the face of adversity and in the face of racism. That is the reason why he stands, and he takes his moment and he pays respect for that, and he honours his position. So it's not because we all think it's bull crap and it's like, oh, BLM, like, oh, Antifa, rah, rah. Shut your frigging mouths, sort yourselves out. Educate yourself, and put it this way, we talk about that because fuck all to talk about this game. But yeah. Zaha's back. It is funny though, Zaha is back and they have won. Coincidental, not.
I don't know. No,
I don't know.
They are a one man club, aren't they?
Yeah,
Eze's
boss. I do like Eze.
But he's like a B-list Zaha though, isn't he?
B-Tech version.
He's a B-Tech Zaha, so it's like they've gone again. They've probably gone, we could lose Zaha, I need to find another one. And they're like, this guy's all right.
And this one plays in the middle, which makes it a little bit easier. It doesn't get targeted so much, we can hang it out wide.
Yeah, find a Zaha replacement, but we've got to play Zaha. You're like, huh?
Yeah, I would like to see Zaha more centrally, and I think it would heighten him, because Zaha is their talisman. Let's be real, we all know that. If you're playing out wide, all you need to do is double up and push him onto the touchline. Can't go anywhere. X'd out the game. If you play centrally, you can then turn. You can turn on it. You can send it back. You can spread it wide. All that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? And he's got the talent and the ability to do it. And he's also got a strong peg on him and is able to shoot. So I think he's wasting himself out on the wing. No, he's not wasting himself on the wing. I'm lying. He's wasting himself at Crystal Palace by playing out on the wing.
I'm not even a Crystal Palace fan. I'm not. I've never been like the biggest Zaha fan. I mean, I've always thought he was a brilliant player, but I'm still disappointed. I've never got to see him at least attempt it. I know he was at Manchester United, but that was more of a that was the time. Man United were just realizing they weren't the top dogs anymore. And so they were just going, oh, no, we don't have time for you. And it's getting a Di Maria or, you know, we all know how that worked out. So that was a bit unfair on him. But, yes, I think Zaha could have maybe took that step. And we'd probably talk about Zaha in the future as a much greater player. Because let's be real, I bet we won't even remember Zaha in 30 years. I mean, will because we've got a knowledge of football. But
yeah, but like, I know what you mean. Mind. Yeah. No, and it's not like if you're making a team in a year, I'll put him in it. Leeds United, Leeds 0, Chelsea 0. No goals for Leeds. No
4-3, I thought.
Mate, I thought it was going to be 3-2. Honestly, thought it was going to be 3-2 or 3-2 Chelsea. But to be fair, Leeds had opportunities. And to be fair, so did Chelsea. It was a drab game. I quite enjoyed watching this game despite it being 0-0.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's one of them. It's entertaining draws. I remember Liverpool and Arsenal having one about 5-6 years ago. Joe Gomez was playing left back. It was 0-0, second game of the season.
Yeah.
Brilliant game of football that. But yeah, they happened. I thought the floodgates would open with this because Leeds don't believe in defending. They think it's a false art. You don't need it. But they've managed to not concede a goal against Chelsea, who was absolutely star-studded. I think if Chelsea win today, considering the teams who have lost around them, which we'll probably go into in a minute. Tottenham lose. Who else have lost? Everyone's lost around. Oh,
Everton.
Everton have lost. They could have guaranteed top four. I still think they're the favourites by a long distance to get that fourth spot. Could even get third. But, well, but you know... You,
at the time of recording, we've got Man United versus West Ham. You know, West Ham. If they fail to win, if they fail to win, Chelsea comfortably in top four. You know, draw or lose for West Ham. But then Chelsea don't want Man United to win that game because they want to be able to finish as high in the league as possible as well. Do you know what I mean? So
it's a missed opportunity, but they didn't lose, you know, so it's not going to break the momentum. They didn't concede. So, you know, the party's still going under Tuchel. The confidence will still be there. They'll go, look, listen, lads, we've just got... Yeah, exactly. They'll go, listen, lads, we just need to be more clinical next week. And I nearly said next year. I was like, oh, how long's this break?
Well, it's funny because I went on my memories on Facebook 2 days ago, and it's obviously what happens on this day over the years. And there was a meme that I shared of what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks because there's no football on. If we knew. Only if we knew at the time. And the final game we're going to be talking about is Newcastle versus Aston Villa. We need to have a steward's inquiry into Newcastle Football Club. I really do. Newcastle United Football Club, I should say. So the game finished one apiece. To be honest, I was watching this sparingly on the iPad whilst Bundesliga football was on the telly box because, you know, Bundesliga is so cool. And you can catch us on Wednesday, by the way. I watch the Bundesliga show on Wednesday. Kieran Clarke with the own goal on 86 minutes. Everyone thought it was an Ollie Watkins goal, but it clearly wasn't. But I felt really sorry for Newcastle. I don't think they deserve to win, but they definitely didn't deserve to lose this game. So for them to get a goal in the dying embers of this match with Jamal Lascelles, bullet header, beautiful, well-directed header on 94 minutes, I felt that it was justice.
It was so Newcastle because they put themselves in the doghouse and then just got themselves out of it. I mean, who concedes an 86th minute own goal and then has to score a 94th minute winner? It was the Newcastle. Yeah, it was the Newcastle show. Newcastle were trying to relegate themselves and save themselves at the same time.
Don't save her. I don't want to be saved. Don't save her.
When I looked it up, because I missed this game. This was on the Friday night, wasn't it?
It's Friday night, yeah.
Yeah, so I was still working Friday night. And I saw the result, and I didn't even check the goal scorers to the next day. And I was like, what, Newcastle contributed to both of them? Brilliant. Newcastle is still in deep trouble. They're still in deep trouble.
Newcastle had some filthy opportunities in this game. And one in particular was from Murphy, where he sort of like jinked through and he's curled his, opened his body, Thierry Henry style, and he's rattled the bar. And do you know what? The strike itself actually pissed me off. And the reason why it pissed me off is because he put way too much juice in that when he didn't need to. He'd done all the hard work. The keeper, like Martinez, was so far over to his right that it was just a nice, easy finish for me. And he's absolutely belted it and it's come off the bar and it's gone over there and whatever. I'm just like, mate, you have, like, if they had lost that game, I'd have been like, that's your fault, Jacob. That is your fault. Do you know what I mean? But Newcastle United, right, they're in the thick of it, man. They are in a precarious position at the bottom of the league. I've got a load of Newcastle fans knocking around on my Twitter. They all want Bruce out and that sort of stuff. They are 2 points clear of Fulham.
I'd say Newcastle are the favourites with the style of football you see. I know Newcastle had a bit of a spark today. I think it'd be stupid to get rid of Steve Bruce when you've got what, 10 games left of the season. That's just idiotic. If you were going to get rid of Steve Bruce, you should have done it 5-6 games ago.
Well, maybe if they get rid of him now, there's a bit of a new manager bounce potentially.
How many games we got left? How many have they played? They've got 10 games left. Do not do that. He knows the players. He knows their strengths.
They've got some bad games. Well, no team's got an easy run. We all know this, right? But the last day of the season, true. The last day of the season, on the 23rd of May, as it stands anyway, which might get delayed by a week, Fulham versus Newcastle.
That's it. That's a 6-pointer. It's a 9-pointer, if you ask
that, me. That's the 100 million game right there, isn't it? I mean, let's have a look at the games that they've got next. They've got Brighton next week.
We should do a watch along for that, by the way, if it's on an appropriate time. Newcastle, Fulham.
Newcastle, I've got plans for the final day of the season. I'll speak to you about that.
Oh, I bet you. Oh, is that the last game of the season? Sorry, I misheard you, mate. Yeah, I know. We have spoke about this. We have. Yeah.
That's right, baby girl. That's cool. But Fulham, not Fulham, Brighton. Brighton next week, tough game. And then they've got Spurs after the international break. Then they've got Burnley away. Then they've got West Ham at home, Liverpool at, away, which is fine because Liverpool don't score any goals. So that's 3 points for Newcastle. Yeah.
What are you on about? We scored 2 goals at home against Leipzig. I don't know what you're talking
about. Wasn't at home. You wasn't at home. It was like,
babe,
I'm in. Where are you? I'm at home. Yeah. Wink. Jesus. Then they got Arsenal. Then Leicester. Then Man City. Then Man City. Sheffield United. They got Sheffield United and Fulham last couple of days. Man, they're dead in these streets, man. It's not Fulham's fault. Do you know what I mean? I think Fulham play gorgeous football. They play a very
it's fast, narrow football. That's what I on the eye.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I want to watch a game and be inspired by it. I want to enjoy it. And
did you watch the game they lost against Manchester United? They were wicked. I felt they lost against Man United at home. But I thought they played some brilliant football.
They do. They're easy on the eye, and they're quite astute defensively. Despite them, you know, I know they're down there and they're struggling. The system that they play and the styles that they do down there work. They just haven't got the personnel for it. That's mm-hmm. the issue. You know, if they were to go out to a bigger club and say, can we have one of your centre halves who aren't playing as often or need to get, you know, an extra bit of game time or whatever, if they stay in the Premier League next year, go out and do it. Don't go have a look in the Championship and have a look at some half decent halves there. You know, lads that, you know, finished in the playoff positions but didn't come up.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that are like 23, 24 years old, that you could get a few years out of them. And also, if you do go down, they've got the Championship experience. They know what the crack is. So they're able to make that step up. So, it's definitely something we can that they should look at for next season. But Newcastle, I honestly think that they are dead in these streets. Aston Villa, they need to sort themselves out as well, because without Grealish, they don't really know what's going on.
They were the same last year, and then we thought they brought in Barkley. They gave him some form of backup, but I think we did over exaggerate that signing. I think we're all quite criminal to that. The exact same problems there as they had last year. Yes, North London is red. We are aware.
I know.
I did this for you. I didn't, but I just... But Aston Villa have plenty of time to come up with solutions, because they're not getting relegated and they're not in Europe next year. You know, you've got to just get to the end of the season.
But what does that mean for some of their star names, i.e. Jack Grealish, John McGinn, I rate him. Douglas Luiz.
They've had this problem since he was in the Championship. And when they come up to the Premier League, I imagine when they come up to the Premier League, they would have thought, if we stay up, we're still going to struggle to hold on to Jack Grealish. They didn't. He signed a new contract, didn't he?
Yeah, he signed a new contract,
but I felt that was just so they could get a big payout for Jack Grealish.
Yeah, 100%. That's how it works. Yeah. When people think, oh, you signed a new contract, yeah, they're going to stay with us. No, it's a deterrent. That's what it is.
But some players will be reluctant to do it. But players will be reluctant to do it sometimes. And then you get like a Mesut Ozil situation, which can happen. Yeah, exactly. But look, I like Aston Villa for what they are, but they've reached the roof of that system they've got, because that system is Jack Grealish.
Yeah. Right then, let's have a look at some tables. The bottom is Sheffield United, of course. We all know that they're there. I'll just make that big for myself so I can see what's going on. And then you have got, what have we got there? Yeah, West Brom, 29 games, 18 points, not cool for them. They have to be going down. There's an 8-point gap between them and Newcastle. And I don't think any club has ever got out at this stage of a season when they are that far behind. So Newcastle, they're in the mix of the relegation zone right now. Brighton have gone ahead of them. They're on 29 points.
Newcastle are away at Brighton next.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, next weekend. Mad things,
man. That's a massive game.
Absolutely mad. So yeah, Southampton, you know, top of the league at one point. I think it was the end of October. They were top of the league. They are now in 14th place on 33 points. Could be involved in relegation battle. Who knows? Wolves, they're safe, but they've got Liverpool tomorrow. Is it yours?
No, it's away, and we'll have Fabinho in midfield.
Liverpool victory. So Liverpool victory.
We're back, that's baby.
Oh, back. And then Leeds United, they're on 36 points, and Crystal Palace, they are in 11th on 37 points. And we have a look at the top half of the table. We've got the
Arsenal. That's the Bundesliga.
That's the Bundesliga one. Oh, bloody hell.
Unless there's been a change to the Premier League this weekend. I'm not aware.
Schalke are doing all right, aren't they? Yeah, so.
That's brilliant.
Bloody hell. Right, so, Arsenal, 41 points. So they got to the magic 40, which is so key, which means that Arsenal will not go down. Aston Villa, they have played a game less. They're also on 41 points. Then you've got Liverpool, who have got Wolves tomorrow. They are in... Where are they? They are in... Wolves are in the bottom half of the table. I'm losing track of my mind after seeing that Bundesliga thing. It's completely screwed me. Spurs are in 7th on 45 points. Everton 6th, 46 points. West Ham currently are playing against Manchester United, so this is a table without those in it. And they are currently on 48 points.
Nil-nil as it stands.
So they'll be on 49. Spurs are down there. Chelsea are in 4th, 51 points. Man United, 54 points. Leicester, 56. And then Newcastle. What is going on with you, Gav? I swear to you. Manchester City, they are top of the league. They are some 15 points clear of everybody else. Sorry about that brain fart moment there, but it happens when you do live things. Right, fixtures. That's what I was looking for next. So, as you can see, as mentioned before, Wolves are at home to Liverpool tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Sunday, if you're listening to it on Monday, they are there tonight on Sky Sports. All these games are available to watch on Sky Sports. Friday night, Fulham versus Leeds. Massive, massive game. A depleted fixture list for next week because it's also the FA Cup as well. But we don't care about that because these teams aren't in it. Brighton got Newcastle, giant game Saturday, 8 o'clock. And then Sunday, another giant game. You've got West Ham entertaining Arsenal. And then we will be live at 7 o'clock and midway through our show. That's when Aston Villa will be entertaining Tottenham Hotspur. But yeah, that brings to the end the show for this week. I'm going to have a couple more beers and then go to bed. What are you going to do, Ed?
I haven't decided. I'm quite hungry, so I'm probably going to go eat.
Food time for Ed. So, of course, you can follow us on all social media platforms, at To The Top Football, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, of course. And as I said, at To The Top Football. And did you know, if you put To The Top into Google, our name comes up first?
Does it?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it does. So, everybody, thank you so much for your contributions to the show. Ed, always a pleasure, never a chore. And we'll see you on Wednesday. Oh, no. We'll actually be back for the MAD Sports Network for the first shows tomorrow. It'll be an NFL show tomorrow. And then To The Top, we'll be back on Wednesday with the Bundesliga show. But until then, thank you and good night.